Good afternoon. Time to take a look at news again here on KCOV. I'm Randy Van. Hope you're enjoying your Tuesday. For the sixth consecutive year, Newton's property tax levy will stay at $17.14 per $1,000 of taxable value. Last night, the Newton City Council members unanimously passed the city's 2021-2022 operating budget. It has a $637,000 surplus. Revenue for the spending plan that takes effect July 1st tops $47,073,000. Expenditures are just under $46,436,000. City staff notes there are no negative balances in the various funds, and the general fund undesignated reserves are equal to or greater than 25% of the city's overall expenditures. Second Ward Councilman Dean Stoner notes City Finance Officer Lisa Frazier and other staff put a lot of time and effort in developing a city budget every year.
I just would like to thank Lisa and her staff and all the city staff and all the huge amount of work that goes into this process. It's incredibly intricate, and there are people who are very good stewards of your tax dollars, and it always makes me feel reassured.
Some highlights of the budget: no new employees have been added, and all departments are being asked to hold the line on new spending. $2 million of asphalt overlays and street reconstruction will take place, and staff will continue planning for the reconstruction of Union Drive in the coming year. Fire engine number 2 will be replaced. The environmental cleanup will be completed at the former 1911 to 1948 manufactured gas plant site south of the railroad tracks near West 3rd Street North and North 6th Avenue West. The dangerous and dilapidated housing program will continue to be funded, and $5 million of projects and equipment will be spent on the sanitary sewer system, including improvements at the water pollution control plant. From December 7th through February 1st, Newton City Council held open to the public budget work sessions after regular city council meetings to discuss and reach agreement on the 2021-2022 operating budget. With COVID-19 vaccinations underway and the local positivity rate for testing under 5%, Newton Mayor Mike Hansen believes it is time to think about city government after the coronavirus. That task is assigned to Fire Chief Jared Wellick and a select number of city staff.
Chief Wellick has been charged with an assemblance of staff that helps us continue to watch our progress with COVID, and in order to keep our staff protected and also our citizens protected that we do business with. As he continues to provide me with the information on the percentages of COVID occurring, and as that continues to drop and drop and drop, I have asked the chief to assemble that committee again, ASAP, and start working on a plan to transition us back to normal, whatever that means at this point in time.
That is Mayor Hansen speaking to the city council last night. As the process goes along, the mayor encourages city employees with concerns to speak up.
Obviously, understanding and protecting that our people have the right to individually visit with their directors if they feel the need to visit with them about protocol and that type of thing in order to keep staff safe and the public safe.
Now this morning, the COVID-19 tracking website operated by the Iowa Department of Public Health had the 7-day positivity rate for coronavirus testing in Jasper County at 2.7%, with 15 confirmed cases in the last week. The 14-day positivity rate is 3.3%. Yesterday, we added just one confirmed case to our total. We're now at 4,243 cases out of 45,768 tests. That test number up 183 from yesterday morning. Our recoveries are up 18 from yesterday morning to 3,593. We still had 69 deaths in the county. Jasper County Sheriff John Halferty has issued a commendation to the Kellogg Fire Department for their life-saving actions during the winter storm that hit Thursday, February 4th. During the 40-vehicle pileup on eastbound Interstate 80 just west of Newton, Kellogg Fire and EMS members rescued a severely injured man trapped in his vehicle and transported him to a trauma center. In accomplishing the rescue, Sheriff Halferty says several adverse conditions were overcome. Those included the cold, strong winds, driving snow, and the inability to get extrication medical equipment close to the victim.
We made a decision to hand carry the equipment and the stretcher through a maze of cars and trucks. And actually, there was an individual there with a pickup truck that offered to assist. So he turned his pickup truck around and they loaded the equipment in that and drove about a quarter mile through this maze of vehicles. And then were able to extricate this victim in really a very quick time, about 15 minutes, I think. But then they had to transport him back the same way that they brought the equipment and stretcher. And I just think that their teamwork, working together and coordinating those efforts in the midst of all those challenges was definitely worthy of accommodation.
The assistance Kellogg Fire and EMS members provided that day serves as another example of the usefulness and importance of having trained fire and EMS personnel in smaller communities.
These people, the majority of them are volunteers, and so they have families and they have jobs, but they're out there serving the citizens. And in this particular case, just many challenges, and they performed very well.
Despite the severity of the pileup, the Iowa State Patrol says there were only a few injuries and no one died. A new poll says a majority of Iowans do not think U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley should run for re-election. Des Moines Register MediaCom Iowa poll says only 28% of Iowans surveyed think Grassley should seek another eighth term. The 87-year-old Republican says he doesn't put any stock in polls.
I found kind of similarities between that and what Branstad got in 2013, that half the people said he shouldn't run for re-election. He won by 20 points. I don't fear any poll like that.
Grassley says he has not made a decision about running again and says he won't make that announcement until this fall.
In the meantime, I've got a responsibility to continue working hard for Iowans, and I hope I do work hard by getting to the office at 6 in the morning and being around Capitol Hill until about 6 or 6:30 in the afternoon, and I enjoy my work.
Grassley says he's in no rush to retire. Should he run for re-election and serve another six-year term, he would be 95 when that term is up. Iowa's other U.S. Senator, Republican Joni Ernst, says the economic stimulus package is going to be a campaign issue for Republicans next year, even though it means many people are getting checks. Ernst says the euphoria of getting the checks will eventually wear off when people realize the long-term costs.
At some point in the future, very near future, we do expect that the Democrats, to pay for all of this, will end up raising taxes, and that will be extremely unpopular for all the goodies that were handed out in this package.
Ernst says there are many people who think the relief should have been more targeted, and she says she's also heard from government leaders who don't like the bailouts in the bill for poorly run states and cities.
That have said, hey, we had to tighten our belts during COVID. We did the right thing. We balanced our city's budget, and now our taxpayers' dollars are going to go to the city of Chicago or the state of Illinois.
The relief bill was passed through by Democrats without any votes from Republicans. Ernst made her comments yesterday talking to Iowa reporters. In funeral announcements, Ray Dolman, formerly of Newton, passed away yesterday morning at the age of 88 at Arbor Springs Care Center in West Des Moines. A visitation fellowship time for Ray Dolman will be held at a later date. Penn Street's Funeral Home in Newton entrusted with the arrangements. Online condolences for the family at www.pensfh.com. And there'll be a funeral service 10:30 tomorrow morning for Mary Butler Lupe, a former Grinnell resident who passed away at the age of 96 in Altoona. The funeral service will be at Smith Funeral Home in Grinnell, 10:30 tomorrow morning. Visitation from 9:30 until 10:30 tomorrow morning, with interment following the service at Ivy Hill Cemetery in Malcolm. Face coverings will be required for those who attend the visitation and service tomorrow. The service will also be live streamed on the Smith Funeral Home Facebook page starting at 10:15 tomorrow morning. Memorials in honor of Mary Lupe may be designated to Grinnell Christian Church. Mail those in care of Smith Funeral Home, P.O. Box 368, Grinnell, Iowa 50112. Memories and condolences may be shared with the family online at www.smithfh.com. Enjoy your Tuesday afternoon. I'll be back 5 o'clock for KCOB News. I'm Randy Vann.